there are times when your customers know exactly what they want, how they want it, and when they need it. But more often, it seems they sort of know what they want, but they know what they don't want. And they'll know what they really want when they see it. And whatever they want, they needed it yesterday. Following, great customer experiences require great customer focus. And that's what we're covering in today's episode. Customer focus is about seeing your customers and their business so clearly that you consistently meet or exceed their expectations, even when those expectations are, well, sort of vague. For more information about Quickfires by Lerner Mobile, be sure to subscribe, share, and check out our show notes. Now, here's the podcast.
Welcome to Quickfires by Lerner Mobile, the podcast where we light the learning spark with skills, best practices, and stories for leaders of learners. Make room fireside for your hosts, Cheryl Porter and Mike Thompson.
Hi, this is SP, and I'm joined with Mike Thompson.
Hey, SP.
We have a special edition of Quickfires by Lerner Mobile today.
Yeah, this is one that we have a great expert in the room on, and that is none other than SP.
This is one of my favorite topics. I love customers.
I've gotten to watch you over so many years. We've worked together for many, many years, and I can confidently say that you are the most effective leader when it comes to customer service, the customer experience that I've ever met.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy talking about it and picking up tips along the way and sharing it with others. So this should be a fun one today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And what's really cool is I get to sit in this seat and I get to ask you the questions. So get ready, everyone. Buckle up because SP's got some really big nuggets of wisdom that are going to be very valuable in how people can deliver the most effective customer service.
That's right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
So I got to spend a lot of time in Nepal a few years ago. I got to write this book called The Anywhere Leader, and I got to go into some of the primitive environments in Nepal and just got to live in the Himalayas for a little while and observe how people live there. And I got to really learn about the Sherpa.
Yes.
The Sherpa is the mountain guides that carry people all the way up to the top of Mount Everest and try to do it in a way to where they're going to be successful and survive. And I think that you, as I watch you and observe you in delivering customer service, my gosh, you are the Sherpa of our customers. And so there are four things that I would love to talk with you about or learn from you about. And those four things is, one, how do you guide customers most effectively? How do you delight customers most effectively? Because customers are kind of tough sometimes. How do you celebrate success with your customers? And then the last one, we're going to end with kind of a twist. How do you rescue a customer when they've just had a major setback? So those are the four things that we want to talk about today. How's that sound for you?
Sounds great. Where do you want to jump in first?
Let's go with guide first. So I mentioned the Sherpa a second ago, and the Sherpa is just, they bring vast experience, vast expertise. What do we need to know about the Sherpa as it relates to this concept of customer service and how to effectively guide our customers?
I think guiding like a Sherpa and taking on a Sherpa mentality is foundational. I don't know if you can do the others as well and get the benefits, because if I've not been to Nepal, but I've read about Sherpas. Yeah. I graduated from the University of Google when it comes to Sherpas. But what I know about them is they're very prepared. So that really goes into knowing homework about your customers or the companies that you serve. And a Sherpa would always be prepared with the right equipment, the right rations, the right supplies, and they would constantly check the weather and the conditions. So they're constantly monitoring the conditions and the changing and the evolution of a company. And then also, a Sherpa is maybe one or two steps ahead of you. They're not 500 yards saying,
right,
catch me, come on. They're really guiding. So they probably have taken this expedition hundreds of times. But as it appears to the person that they're guiding, they're only a few steps ahead. So it's very encouraging for the traveler. And in this case, it's going to be our client.
They're in lockstep with their customer all the way. And they bring a great deal of confidence and feeling of security, which is so important. Our customers, our clients want to feel that way as well. It is interesting. You talk about the changing environment, the weather, all of that kind of stuff. The Sherpa is constantly reading and looking out on the horizon and really understanding what they're about. They almost can predict what's ahead of them. And I think that they're able to do that because they're scanning the horizon all the time, right?
They are. And they also, they've seen a lot. So I think if something gets a little bit rocky, you're going to have that sense of security with the Sherpa because they've probably experienced it before. And they have so much experience. They know how to handle rocky situations as well as smooth situations.
The other thing that I think they have to be good at is not every customer is the same. As a matter of fact, they're all different. And so not only is the Sherpa scanning the horizon and making sure that they're set up well for future conditions, but they're also looking at every customer uniquely, and they're kind of adjusting according to maybe a customer's specific needs or whatever.
I think that's totally accurate. And that's what I like about it is the improvisational piece of it, depending on maybe the knowledge or the experience the customer has come to the table with, where they see value in my services and what their overall goals are.
Yeah. Love that. I love the example of the Sherpa. I think when I've watched you in delivering great customer experience, you certainly are right in lockstep with the client. You're constantly scanning that horizon and you're reading the client specifically and making sure that you're guiding them appropriately. I see it every day. It's a lot of fun. SP, the next one is just this idea of delight. And you and I are both fans of the Ritz.
I mean, who isn't?
Who's not a fan of the Ritz? But how do they do it? How do they delight every time? And what can we learn from them?
So if guiding like a Sherpa is an essential, I think that delighting like the Ritz, that's what's going to take you over the top and make you memorable and apart from the competition. So the Ritz is all about the details, the way it looks, the way it feels. When you walk in, you have champagne. I don't even drink champagne, but I'll take champagne. No, I really, I'll take my champagne and my husband's champagne. Down to how they want you to, how they scent the different areas. It's that deliberate. So really thinking of those details for your customer to where it feels almost effortless. They can hit the easy button. And it can be like little things like setting up agendas, doing
sure
all the little things that can take any service and really elevate it to concierge service.
Yeah, you mentioned you talked about the scent. When I walk into the W Hotel, we're using a lot of hotel examples. I think it's probably an easy example. But to your point, what are they? The five senses? Is it the five senses? The touch, the smell, the taste, the hear, all of that?
All of it. They curate it and they want to be so deliberate to really turn it from just a service or an interaction to truly an experience.
Yeah. And is it different from a B to C, a business to customer or consumer approach, or a business to business approach? Or does it apply to both?
I think it applies to everything. We all have customers and we don't just have one end customer. We have internal customers. We have external customers. We have customers. We have stakeholders. Sometimes our customers have customers.
Right.
And I think the people who do service the best consider all.
Yeah, I see that in you a lot. And so most of our business is probably in a B2B, but you're right. We are reading the environment. You force us to read the environment. You make sure that our team understands what are we walking into? Who are all the stakeholders? What challenges and barriers should we be ready to address? What pace should we consider? What's the timing? When is it too long? When is it not long enough? What's our first throw out statement? And so you really agonize over all of those aspects, and it's not easy. Is it unrealistic, or can everyone do it?
I think everybody can do it. There's nothing in my intellect that makes me anything remarkable. I just think of it in terms of, what do I want the customer knowing, doing, feeling?
Yeah. You're so good at making sure that you don't just have that knowledge, but that our organization has that knowledge. One of the things that I see that may be a mistake is people think if they're in a customer service role or a customer experience role and they own that job, then they think that the job starts and stops with them. But really, if you own it, it doesn't start and stop with it. They just know how to leverage the organization. They know how to bring all of the experts to the table at the right time. And you do that extremely well, leveraging the organization. And I know that it's not just up to one person at the Ritz to deliver my wonderful customer experience. I know the whole organization is set up for that. And they've just built a culture of customer service.
Absolutely. Like, when you think about what do you want your customer feeling, I might be able to provide the same type of knowledge. But if I bring in a senior executive, sometimes it hits a little different. If I bring somebody in from my tech team, that might speak their language a little bit better.
Sure.
It's about putting your ego aside and painting the most beautiful canvas. And I do really think of it in terms of art.
Love that. So that's delight. And Ritz is a great example there. The next one is celebrate.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Yeah. And so we had guide like a Sherpa, delight like a Ritz. The celebrate one is a little bit interesting because we say celebrate like a pageant mom.
That's right.
And these are, you know, the pageant mom. I mean, they're the ones that just get really, really pumped up and really emotional.
I have friends who are pageant moms. I love them.
Yeah.
Pageant moms make the world go around.
I love that.
Everybody needs a pageant mom in their life. This is when you get to have just, you get to be a mom, whether you're a mom or not. In a way, my clients are a little bit like my kids. And I mean that in the most endearing way, because many times when you pick up a client, they're just so wide-eyed and open, and they're learning new things along with you. And then when you watch them in action, you're like, oh, don't forget to do this. Okay, they just did that. Well, what about this? Okay, they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I just get this pride. I think that's a big kudos for me when they're successful. And I just love it. That's one of my favorite things, is to, whether it's pulling in metrics, looking at trends, really piecing together a story where we can celebrate. And in our business, where we're working with training and development professionals, they're giving out glow sticks all the time.
Yeah.
And they're just emotionally spent. And so I feel like it's part of our job to fill their tank.
I also think that from a customer experience standpoint, we do a great job of starting strong, of setting it up well for success, of bringing a good project plan to the table, of delivering a wonderful outcome. But we don't celebrate with our clients oftentimes. And I think celebration is key in just building that relationship, that camaraderie. And we certainly want camaraderie with our clients, don't we?
Why not?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, if we're gonna spend our day doing the job that we're doing, then let's also make sure we have a little bit of fun. And why not celebrate together?
Well, and there is a lot of truth to that. I need a little bit of a stronger word, but we talk about in change leadership how it's critical to celebrate and recognize at the end of any kind of change initiative. And what we're doing is not that different than a change initiative. We're working on a project. We're trying to get something accomplished. We're moving mountains, one learner at a time.
There you go. So celebration is key.
It is. It's fun. It's just fun. It's not something you have to do. It's something we get to do.
Yeah. And it brings closure, I think. And it helps us kind of recover and then start the next one.
Yeah.
So love that. The last one is a tough one. I think it's rescue, because we're not always going to have the most positive outcomes. We hope we do 95% of the time. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be 5% of the time when something's broken or something's hurting or there's a pain point somewhere that we need to make sure we do a good job of rescuing the situation.
Where the others are very much, I would say, by the book. There's a game plan to it. Rescuing, like an EMT, it's like breakdancing. You've got to improvise sometimes, because sometimes it's worthwhile in using it as something that you work through to eventually create a teachable moment. And then sometimes it's just you got to swoop in and save the princess and save the day. And you can't do one or the other all the time. I think it's a balance of what's the best treatment for that patient laying on the gurney that could be bleeding out.
Yeah. And I think what makes this hard is it requires a different part of maybe engaging a different part of the brain. Because on the previous ones, when you're guiding, when you're delighting, when you're celebrating, a lot of that you're working from a place of future casting, prediction, you're striving for a target. But in rescue, the patient may be dying on the bed, and it's time to get into that command and control, kind of the moving quickly, mm-hmm. making the right calls. It's probably not going to be the time for, well, let's all gather around the table and spend 2 hours in collaboration trying to fix this. It demands an immediate response, I would think, correct?
It does, but it does take finesse as well. So you want that EMT, but you want the hands of a surgeon as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Because these are people's work lives in the balance. And many times it's their reputation, or their success. So you want to have an element of empathy as well as finesse.
Yeah, it can be scary for them. And if I'm
never let them see you sweat.
Never
Mike.
Let them see you sweat. Yeah, because if I'm afraid and I'm your customer and I'm in that 5% mode, we're going to say 3% maybe, where it doesn't go as perfectly planned. You're going to either give me the confidence or I'm going to lose confidence.
That's right.
And so you have the opportunity to ensure that my confidence is growing in that moment, correct?
Yeah, I might be, looking smooth on top of the water, but as a duck, I'm just like,
there you go.
Paddling out of it.
Awesome. So those four things: guide, delight, celebrate, rescue. I love the examples, guide like the Sherpa, delight like the Ritz. I love celebrate like a pageant mom. I get that too. And then rescue like an EMT.
Quickfires is brought to you by Learner Mobile, the learning experience platform that delivers the right information at the perfect time so you can win your day. To simply develop everyone in your organization and start your free trial of Learner Mobile, go to learnermobile.com. Now back to the podcast.
In all of those areas, there are four maybe behaviors that I think we can adopt in delivering that awesome customer experience. And I think you've exemplified these extremely well, SP. I get to watch you, number one, be available. Mm-hmm. You're highly, highly responsive to a client demand, and you're available to them.
This one, a mentor taught me this back in my retail world. She said, don't ever make the little stores feel like little stores. So you got to love the one you're with. Forgive me, in retail, we have lots of sayings. We have lots of acronyms. But the question was, who is the most important customer? The answer is the one standing right in front of you.
That's right. Yeah. So be available, be present might be another way to think about that. Be fully present. The other one is, boy, there comes many, many times when you've got to be proactive.
That's right.
When the answer book doesn't exist, yet a solution has to come up from somewhere.
That's right. That's right.
In our business, we've done this a million times. Mm-hmm. We know how to set up wonderful training to where it isn't just informative, it's highly engaging. And we know what makes good design and we know what makes bad design.
That's right.
And sometimes our clients will come from different perspectives and they don't know what makes good design. And it's up to us to be proactive in nature to maybe help them see what the vision is.
And I would say maybe the opposite of that is I don't want to get so jaded in the rinse and repeat of the work over and over that I don't want to ever forget the individuality of a client or a company as well, to where it just seems like I'm on autopilot.
Yeah. And there seems to be, there's this engineering from a customer experience standpoint that's important. But I also think that it's not just all engineering. It's also artistry. Mm-hmm. And so I love the word by Disney, Imagineering, mm-hmm. because it says we've got to bring not just the engineering in, but also the imagination. So I would assume that delivering a great customer experience demands that we bring our creative capability to the table as well.
Absolutely. And when it comes to being creative, this was something that I was really thinking about in preparation of this, is I know where I fall is I really get into the details, but being creative, looking through it through like multifocal lenses. I have what's called progressives, and that is luxury language, not for bifocals, not for trifocals, but for multifocal.
I did not know this. This is something I thought I knew everything about you.
I'm still in a little denial about it. What multifocal lenses allow you to do is see things from different depths, whether it's up close reading to 20 yards away. And when it comes to being creative, I have to really push myself to go ahead and look at things at the whole picture, because I do get down in the weeds sometimes. So it's being creative, but really looking at it from different focal lengths.
Yeah, there's a lot of times there's not just one response to one problem. Sometimes we've got to have the willingness to look at a blank sheet of paper and start creating from there, spending time in that imagination space in order to deliver a most compelling solution for our customers. So be creative. That's a powerful one. And then the last one, SP, is, and I love this one, be relentless.
You have to be comfortable with the uncomfortable, and that means sometimes running after problems because they don't go away. If you don't know the answer, just run toward it. And if you can't get the answer, find somebody else.
You're so good at that. You're so good at chasing down a problem and wrestling it to the ground until, you know, we've recovered.
And I think I wrestle with it internally as well. Because sometimes time is a factor, sometimes quality is a factor, and you're trying to make the best decision at that particular time. And you think, okay, I've already exhausted plan A. What about plan B? What about plan C? And so I think specifically with be creative and be relentless, this is where colleagues, trusted colleagues can help, because I know I've got a colleague at SVI who really helps me with the creative piece. That's a nice counterbalance.
Right. Like we talked about a second ago, leveraging the organization appropriately and efficiently in a way that delivers that exceptional experience. So I think that those are also takeaways, SP, to where we talk about be available. So if you're in that customer experience role, maybe that's something to consider, like how available are you to the customer? And really, you know what? You're not even allowed to answer this. You should ask this of your customer and have them rate you on your overall availability. Okay. The second one is just be proactive. Same thing. How proactive are you? What score would your customer give you? Would they give you an A, a B, a C, a D, or a failing grade? And obviously, we're shooting for that top grade there. The third one, be creative. How much time are you spending in the imagination side of the customer experience? How much time are you spending in that quiet space or that whiteboard space to where you're allowing that different part of your brain to engage in order to bring a powerful solution to the table? And then the last one, be relentless. How are you here? When it gets tough, do you retreat? When it gets tough, do you quit? Or do you chase down the problem and wrestle it to the ground? And do you have that grit? And again, probably best to hear from your customer what your score is on that in relation to being relentless.
Those problems I've learned just never go away. You can't put them in the junk drawer and close it.
No question.
Might as well deal with it now, right, Mike?
Yeah, yeah. Well, these are so powerful, such powerful tips. Just the ability to guide, delight, celebrate, and rescue. And I think the other thing that I took away with this is just how do we leverage it? It's not just one person that's responsible for it. They may own it, but how do we leverage the organization in order to deliver that spectacular customer experience? So, SP, thanks so much. Really wise words
Thank
behind
you.
The customer experience.
This was fun. We'll have to do it again, but maybe switch chairs.
There we go. Let's do it.
Thanks for joining us for this episode. Excelling in customer focus helps you go from someone who not only takes an order and fills a basic need to someone who provides deeper, broader solutions.
If you enjoyed this podcast, share us with a colleague and hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Quick Fires is hosted by Cheryl Porter
and Mike Thompson. Thanks for listening.